Okay, we are shiur number three. How about Elena Lotova? Really on the topic of ethics in your life, really. This will revolve around, I hope, a very, very interesting topic. So just to review, especially for those that decided that bringing their Maamar Makoma sheet wasn't important. So just to review, last shiur that we gave on Friday, on Erev Shabbos, so we spoke about the Gemara, the two Gemaras that were, we thought, a contradiction. Gemara Shabbos, Lamed Aleph, Gemara Sanhedrin, Daf Zayin. So as I told you, I was very happy to see, a friend of mine sent me an article that was written, I assume, a few days ago, by Rabbi Yair Hoffman, who writes these nice halachic ditties, I think it was in the Yeshiva World, one of those websites. And he wrote about Nebuch, the recent arrest of a number of people from Lakewood for stealing from the government. So he spoke about the Inyan of Chil Hashem. So he quoted exactly the Machlokes and Atu Gemaras, and I was like, great, I was so excited to see another answer, because we gave the answer of the Eliyahu Rabbah. And not unfortunately, but obviously rightfully so, he didn't quote me by name, but I assume he saw it, he heard my shiur on Friday, and I think he read it before Friday, but okay. He quoted the Eliyahu Rabbah. He doesn't quote the Pri Megadim, who quotes in the name of the Eliyahu Rabbah, one mistake that I made, and I'm happy Rabbi Yari Hoffman pointed out, if you just look at the Lusher and source number 4, I apologize that I was wrong, I would have never known this. The way that this is read, just look at this. Kisholim, they asked the question, Betchilas Dino, Shabbos Lamed Aleph, Leishalim B'divrei Torah, Shamati B'Shem Zikni. That's why it made no sense. Why would the rush be Zikni? He was talking about his grandfather. His grandfather, De'im Ein Maso Matan Shemo Be'amuna Limra Torah Chil Hashem. That's what we said last time. We did, of course, the famous Sefer Chumash, which hopefully you said over this Shabbos. But he continues on that point, and I just want to make that point because we'll get to the Rambam and Hilchos Deos, which we saw already, which is how we live our lives. What is actually Chil Hashem? It sounds a little bit strange. We all think we know Chil Hashem. Some people, you know, will go up to a person, that's a Chil Hashem. You're Chil Hashem. What's a Chil Hashem? I know that when I was a kid, whenever we got on the bus to any trip in Hafter, so Rabbi Besser, who was the Menahel Ruchani, no, the Menahel, really we called the principal. He was the principal, it was Hafter, so we called him the principal. So he used to do the following. He used to make the announcement. Ladies and gentlemen, you're going to be getting off the bus, and what's going to happen? You're wearing yarmulkes, right? He says, you're wearing yarmulkes. Girls, you're wearing, I don't know what. So he said, when you come off the bus, Chil Hashem. Right? That's like your typical speech that you get. Now the truth is that the Rambam quotifies in Hilchos Yisodei HaTorah, I think in Perek Gimel, I think Halacha Dalet, or Dalet Halacha Gimel, I forgot. So he writes over there that Chil Hashem is the opposite of Kiddush Hashem. Right? Rav Aaron Soloveitchik always used to point out that V'chai Bahem is first. God wants you to live a life of Kiddush Hashem, and then there are certain things that you're supposed to, right? He wants you to live a life. He doesn't want you to die of Kiddush Hashem. Right, Rav Aaron used to point out that there's only three things you're supposed to die al Kiddush Hashem for, right? Right, Yogi Rel Yavor, right, that thing. And then, Nebuch Lo Leinu, when you have a terrorist something like that, you die al Kiddush Hashem. The Holocaust, you die al Kiddush Hashem. But he says, that's not the Iker. If you look at the Lashon HaRama, the Rama says at the end, really we're supposed to live a life of Kiddush Hashem, right? Every time we do something good, it's living a life, right? I don't know if this is really true. You could tell me this, but when they went to the Skaterama, I don't know what it's called, the skate place, so apparently he got a call, an email, something like that, Ari Katz got it, saying, wow, this is always for us, this is the biggest pleasure in the summer to have you guys come. Obviously, I would assume the rest of the summer they have all Gentile nations coming and doing their skating aramas. And he said that it was unbelievable how well that they I don't know if it's true. But let's assume it's true. I know from last year, I actually read the email when I was in Portland last year. So I read the email, and there was a beautiful email saying that they even asked them where to take the garbage out. It was unbelievable. It was really a beautiful Kiddush Hashem. That's mamish Kiddush Hashem Shein Kamoho. But where does this come from? So the Rambam writes that. The Rambam says it's the opposite of what you call Chil Hashem, is Mekadosh Shein Hashem. And this is, of course, the Minchas Chinuch. Minchas Chinuch says in Simon, Reitz Tavach Hei, the Chinuch, writes about Shein Namim Mechil Hashem. The hefech kiddush Hashem, right? That's what the Rambam says. The opposite of Chil Hashem, right, is kiddush Hashem. Shenitzavu bo kamo shekasabnu lamala b'seder zeh shenemar v'lo techal l'shem kochi. He takes it from the pasuk, of course, in Sefer Vayikra, lo techal l'shem kochi.
Kli Hashem.
So there the Minchas Chinuch explains what exactly is going on. And I won't go through the whole thing, but it's a beautiful, if you have time to look at, this is a beautiful Minchas Chinuch who goes into the details of it. He brings different Gemaras that explain, and he says, this is what the Rambam says in Hilchos Yisod Yitara, Kamer Komis, B'Sanhedrin, B'Yuma, B'Sachim, V'Chulu, B'Tor, B'Tor Shulchan Aruch, U'Barith, Baran, that speaks about this importance of being Mekad Hashem Hashem, not Mechal Hashem Hashem. Hine Alzeh, Kol Aver Shabbatorah, Chutz Mishlosh Averos, except for those, so, of course, Avodah Zarah, Gilei Raos, Shvichas Damim, Im Anasu V'Ratzu L'Harogo, right? You really have a person has to live on Kiddush Hashem. That's the best thing. Then he quotes the Rambam exactly what signifies. I just wanted to quote two Gemaras that talk about this inyan of Chil Hashem. One is talking about by Shvu Shav, Gemara Tanis Daf Chav Gimel. Then it says, Lo Nimsa Shem Shamayim Mechalel. So he says, I'm quoting Rashi now. So it says that when it comes to a person who's Mechal Shem Hashem, so it could be, how is that possible that you're Mechal Shem Shamayim, talking about Tzirus Kishamim? Bitzmiya She'alea Nishba, somebody made a swore. B'Shem Hashem, Chai Hashem, Chi Hashem, Im Yiyah Hashanim, right? He tailing Matar and so on and so forth, and by doing that he was Mechal Shem Hashem. Says the Gemara in Yuma. The Gemara in Yuma speaks also about Chil Hashem. Chote. Who's the Chil Hashem, says the Rashi? So he says Chil Hashem is Chote u'mechate achir. The worst type of Chil Hashem is when a person is Mechalel Shem Hashem by making others sin. This is something that can be quite common. Right, you get into a group and you start speaking Lashon Hara, he says that you're over Chil Hashem. Because you're getting a group together to be over an Avera, that also violates a Chil Hashem. And this, just one more source, this is what the Beis Yosef says also in Hilchot Staka. In Hilchot Staka, the Torah writes in Reish Nun Dalet, in Yoredeya, also the Yisrael Likach Staka Mi'ovid Kochavim, the Farhesya. You're not allowed to really accept money from Goyim for your shul, for your base members. Can anybody figure out why that is? Why do you think? Why would that be wrong? Right? Yeshiva Leva Torah is having a campaign, and St. Joachim's says, wow, we love Israel, we want to collect money for them. What would be the halachic problem? What do you think, now that we discussed this? What do you guys think? What would be a problem with that? Accepting money from a non-Jewish nation? Right, so one could argue that the easiest thing is to say maybe it came from Avodah Zarah uses, we're very, very nervous about that. No. But based on Chil Hashem, what's the Chil Hashem here? What?
You're allowed to take that from
that
word dependent on the other nations.
And not who? Ourselves. A chutzpah. So the Beis Yosef question, I admit that Lahalach Lamaisa Bach, you can see different sources, many tshuvas that discuss why it would be mutter nowadays, and why it's allowed, because the Jews are supporting each other. The Beis Yosef before it says, well, what's the problem over here? What's the big deal? Aser likach mi'akum. Mforish gemara, amar rabbi nachman, oichel davar, psuim, fine, beirish rashi, mekabli stakum mi'akum, havei chil Hashem. Three rashis that we saw that are clear that it's a chil Hashem, perish atoshis, aval ein perish it has nothing to do with who they are as a people, as a nation. It has to do with the fact that what? That we are not supporting ourselves. Okay? So we saw this. It's by also the Halachas of Molech. We saw the Gemara Tanis, Gemara and Gittin, as well discusses this following the ways of Goyim. It's also a Chil Hashem v'chul. So now let's get back to Ershir. So we saw in source number 4, the Rambam in Hilchos Deos, which speaks about how a person has to act. And this is what we ended off with last time. Ella, tocha kabah, Rambam in Hilchos Deos, perek bet, halacha vav. That you have to be honest inside and out. And again, this is my introduction to Chil Hashem. This is exactly what we're talking about here. A person could be a walking Chil Hashem if he doesn't act appropriately. And if everybody knows that what he speaks is not what he believes. And guys, this is a really hard issue that we struggle with sometimes. When people say, oh, he's a faker. He's a faker. Why do I call you a faker? I call you a faker because everybody, sometimes it's obvious on the person that he's not real, right? He comes up to everybody like that. I'm sure you in your life have met people, hopefully not a lot of people, who are two-faced, right? And sometimes you get, I don't say you get lucky, but sometimes you are privy to the conversation that happens, what we call the achra pargod, right? I just had the situation where somebody was talking about me. And I was in the wrong location, which for me turned out to be the right location, and I overheard them talking about me. Right? It's very embarrassing. The person came up after, what were you trying to say? So that's not Tocha Gabaro. Because when I saw the person, he was, hey, Rabbi Hartstein, how are you? It's not, you don't really care how I am, because you just spoke bad about me. So that is what the Rambam is hearing here, Tocha Gabaro. What's an example of that? Also, look, gnev das a bria. So now let's do gnev us das, says the Rambam. Afilo b'das anachri. It doesn't matter who it is. Again, what we spoke about last time, because it makes you into a bad person yourself. You're going to have the bad midos. Remember the Minchas Chinuch. The whole idea of the Sefer Chinuch last time is the better things you do, you become a better person. If you do bad things, well, maybe there's a heter because it's gotten. It doesn't matter. You become a bad person. I quoted here in source number 7, the Or Sameach. Source number 7. He says, we get this from what it's written in Arbei Pesachim. Shlosha HaKadosh Baruch Hu Sonim. There are three people God hates. A very strange lashon. HaMedaber Echad B'Peh V'Echad B'Lev. Says the Or Sameach. Who are those people? Gemara Pesachim? Somebody who is different on what he thinks and what he says. What the Rambam's lashon is. Really, obviously getting from the Gemara. Then he writes, Di'im Mahafich, then he says in Perek Bava Metzia, it says, Dahan Shelcha Tzedek Hu B'Mekach HaMemkar. Ayin Rashi Shan, V'zeh Nechlal Bahem D'Mishim Atu B'Emunah. That's what we're talking about. Are you Oisek B'Emunah? Rashi's Lashon is, are you honest in your business dealings? Are you being dishonest in what you say? And it's not really true in your heart. You know that it's not true. And this is a really hard halacha. Sometimes, come on guys. Let's go. Wake up. Let's go. Sometimes it's a very hard halacha. You're selling your house. You need to sell your house. You want to get a good price. You know that every time that it rains, the basement floods. What do? How can you be honest about that? You'll never sell the house. Happened to be that our home that we bought in Bergenfield, so we got an amazing, awesome deal on it. Baruch Hashem was one of the reasons we were able to buy a ridiculously expensive house in Israel. The day that we were supposed to do the inspection, as it's called, it was pouring outside. 9 o'clock in the morning, the woman calls and she says, I'm so sorry, because of the rain, my daughter is not able to get to school. I have to watch my granddaughter, I'm so sorry. Being a sales guy, I can't believe I fell for that. Why was she really canceling? Because it was raining and her house was flooding, which was going to soon be my house. Unfortunately, I didn't get it. So what happened? The inspector came a few days later, and he actually was a very good inspector. He said, I think there's some water damage in the house. I could feel it in the basement. There's something going on here. So maybe it wouldn't matter anyway. At that point, she basically said to us, I don't care. And she realized that we'd gotten a ridiculous deal, and unfortunately other Jews, this is also an Isser, had offered her more money. She had told me at our closing, she was a very religious Christian woman. She had pictures of Yerushalayim all over her house, it was very interesting. She told me she would only sell to another Jew, to a Jew, because she loved what we did with the community. So that's Kiddush Hashem. But the Chil Hashem was, she told me that you should know that a week after I agreed to sell the house, a man came to the home with a suitcase. And he said, Miss, I have $10,000 in this briefcase. He said, I don't care what that guy offered you, I'll offer you more, and you can take the $10,000 as a down payment right now. Chutzpah. So yeah, it's a big chil hashem. So it turned out to be my father. No. So when it comes to this halacha, what do? So you have to be honest with everything? So it happens to be that right before we moved to Israel, one of the other things, we had to sell our, we sold our home, Baruch Hashem, And I actually told the people who we sold our home to. I'll tell them the whole story I just told you. And I said, so what happened? So Baruch Hashem, when we bought the house, my wife put in a new carpet in the basement. And the first time it rained, my wife called me, she was crying. My mom was like, she was shot or something. Hello? I'm like, oh my God, what happened? What happened? You know, the house burnt down. What happened? She's like, it rained. I'm like, I know, I'm like two blocks away. I know it's raining. Like, what's the chiddush? So she said, the carpet is all wet. That flood, okay, fine. Okay, then what are you going to do? Anyway, so we actually brought in a sir. They came and they fixed the house. And it hadn't, right? They fixed the whole thing for whatever, thousands of dollars. And so I told the guy, I said, I'll just tell you. I was very honest with him. It happens to be, just to tell you a good story about Kiddush Hashem, these things can always come back to you. We were mamash on Shabbos, two Shabboses ago. We ate by the block we used to live on, by my friend. And his those people who we sold the house to 9 years ago came over to say hi. They said, we just want to tell you something. It was the easiest sale we ever did. You were so honest with us. Baruch Hashem, 9 years, they had no problems with the house. They said, you told us, like, because honesty sometimes isn't the good policy. So now I'll tell you the further story. I once had, what happened? I wanted to sell my car as well. So I happened to have this, I had a Toyota Camry, because I was very wealthy, obviously. And I had a Toyota Camry, and it had like no miles on it, because I actually had an office in Teaneck, then had an office in Fort Lee, but I was living in Teaneck, so I had like 30,000 miles on it. It was great. So it was like a dream for somebody to buy. So a lot of people were interested in the car. The day I was showing the car was a Sunday. I went to shul. I was pulling out of my spot, and some guy smashed my car. He was pulling in because he saw me pulling out, and he just decided, well, you're taking too long. And by mistake, he smashed me. So I pulled the car over, and he comes out of the car, Nebuch. It was a much younger guy. He had just gotten married. He's like, please, please, please. Please, please, I'm going to get in trouble. But I'm like, what? Calm down. Everything's okay. He's like, listen, this, first of all, is my father-in-law's car. I just moved here. I don't want to start. I'll just pay whatever it is. Please, please, don't call the police. Please, please. I felt bad for the guy, you know? So I went ahead and went the next morning, wasted my entire morning, went to three different body shops because I wanted to get him the best price because I felt bad for him. And I got some guy to do it for $800 or something. So I called him up. I said, great news. I said, I found $800. This guy called me $1,500, $800. You just have to get me. And all of a sudden, the guy that was stuttering, all of a sudden said, well, actually, I spoke to my lawyer, and he says, it really might have been your fault. And I'm like, no, you didn't. Mm-mm. I said, you have no idea. I said, you have no idea who you're dealing with now. I said, you don't want to get started with me. He's like, oh, I don't know. Fine. Then his father-in-law calls, whose car it was, right? And it happened to be that the plates were MD plates, and the father's some big hotshot doctor. Calls me and starts screaming, you don't know who you're dealing with, you don't know what I'm going to do to you, blah, blah, blah. And I said, sir, do you think I'm scared of you or something? Like, are you kidding me? Fine. Got off the phone, did what only any good Jew would do, this is probably Chil Hashem now. I actually called somebody who's on the town council, which I knew, happened to be a few weeks before, it was Veterans Day, sorry I'm telling you so many stories, but a few weeks before was Memorial Day. And they needed because Bergenfield was becoming a little bit more Jewish, they wanted to have a priest and a rabbi at the ceremony, but they didn't have any rabbis who wanted to do it because they're normal. So they asked me to do it, a fake rabbi. They said, go ahead, fine, for a fake gift. So I went there and they were all excited. And I got up there and I loved it. It was so great, right? I got up to go, ladies and gentlemen, let us pray to the Lord in heaven. And they're like, Christians love when you use Hebrew words. And they're like, Olam Chesed Yibaneh, Misha Beirach. Blah, blah, blah. You know, you pretend like, and they're all, they were like, they loved it. It's like, Rabbi, you got to come every Sunday to church. You're great. You're wonderful. So these people liked me. So I said, listen, what do you think I should do? And she's like, give me 5 minutes. I'll call you back. Anyway, it's a long story, but she basically called me back with the chief of police. He says, Rabbi, I remember your speech. What a wonderful speech. You had those Hebrew words that you said. We're going to take care of it. Anyway, they had this whole idea of going, they're going to do a bust at his house at 2 o'clock in the morning. He was going to bring, they have nothing to do in Bergenfield. They wanted to bring all the police officers, knock on the door and say there was a hit and run. You know, Rabbi Hartstein complained about it. I said, that was a Chil Hashem. I said, absolutely not. Anyway, everything worked out well. The point of the story that I'm telling you, it worked out well because I got a lot more money from the insurance company. And of course, the insurance company raised my rates, except I was moving to Israel, so it didn't matter. So for Baruch Hashem. And by the way, the doctor then called me back and said, okay, I'll pay $800 because now he's paying $1,800. Okay, you just go ahead. Anyway, point is, when I showed the car to people the week after, I told everyone, I said, the car's great at it. One little thing you should know, I just got into a car accident, but I fixed the car. So the guy who actually ended up buying it said to me that when he loved the car and when he pulled into his service station to check the car to make sure it was, you know, good. This is exactly what we're talking about here, the Rambam. So as he pulled in, his mechanic said, this guy was just involved in a car accident. I said, what are you talking about? He said, I smell the fresh paint. Right away, he knew the fresh paint. I mean, again, if I didn't tell him, it'd just be, I'm a dishonest person, maybe something going on. So a person has to be honest. The question is, to what level do you have to be honest? The Or Sameach quotes the Gemara and says, God hates those people who are dishonest and they're one in their right, who sells his home and doesn't say what all the things that are wrong, who sells a product and doesn't say what's wrong with it. This gets happens all the time. How much you guys are going to be in sales or not, whatever it might be, right? But I'll give you a good example, right? Let's say you're a waiter. Let's say you're a waiter, right? And you're asked a question. Was this just made today? Right? Say, you feel bad for the restaurant you're working in, or Nebuch for the kitchen, right? Say, I'll be honest with you, you know, the pancakes were made last Thursday. Last Thursday? Okay, now, last Thursday, a Thursday, you know? So that's a... That you have to be honest with people. Okay, you don't have to be exactly... You don't... That's what we're saying over here.
What about like a white lie? Like
right, so this is exactly the question. Tocho Kabaro, is there any heterim? So there clearly is. We said, I believe on Friday, we spoke about the heterim with Shalom Bias. That a person is allowed to, halachically, mutter, 100%, to lie to his wife to preserve Shalom Bias. This week's parasha, right? That's exactly what Aaron HaKohen did. Okay, if you see the stark difference. Miriam dies, the apostle doesn't say anything. Aaron dies, 30 days of mourning. Why? Everybody loved Aaron because he had this amazing knack for being able to be Oyev Shalom, Oyev Shalom. And the famous, everybody knows the story about, you know, goes to the husband and says, the wife wants to speak to you. She feels so bad about what she did. And goes to the wife and says, your husband wants to speak to you. Feels so bad. Nobody ever spoke to Aaron about it. And both of them come to each other and be like, hey, if you're sorry, I'm sorry. And he's like, I never said I was sorry. And then they make up. He would lie in the furish to both of them to get them back together. So there are times where it is mutter, and it's sometimes mutter for a person to say, I'll give you an example, right? I lost my job, let's say. Rahman al-Salam. I lost my job. So I am embarrassed to tell you. So you say to me, how's your job doing? I said, Baruch Hashem, you're a guy I see once a month anyway. I don't want to talk to you about it now. So I think that's mutter to say, Baruch Hashem, I'm lying to you, really, but it's to protect embarrassment, right? But what, say, Toch Gemara. You say, wow, how do you do? And the guy says to him, Rabbi, how do I look? Right? So if I really want to be Daniel Hartstein, I would say, to be honest with you, Shana Aleph, you really were a nice, fit guy. What the hell happened to you? Look at you. You got married. Now 40 pounds you gained. You look terrible. Right? Like that. Okay, so maybe if you're a good Rebbe, you say it in a nice way. I had that when I first got married. It was not a nice way. So my wife is such an amazing chef. So every night, she thought that that's the kedak, that's what you're supposed to do. You're supposed to make food for your husband every single... So she would make me dinner every night. It was amazing, right? And then her friends told her, no. Yeah, so that stopped. That's still, I found obviously food. I found food, don't worry. So a guy came up to me. We were out for dinner. I always remember exactly. Whenever I see the guy, we were out for dinner at King David on Central Avenue, Olav Shalom. And... guy came up. Now, it's true, the guy hadn't seen me since I was a little kid. So now he comes up to me and he's like, hey, how's the marriage? What the hell happened to you? Look at you! Like that. And that was the moment of like, oh my God, I need to lose weight. I've got a Weight Watchers birth sham. I mean, then I gained the weight back. Okay, bye. So you're right. There are certain situations, but listen to the Or Sameach. Again, it's not, it quotes the Gemara, then says, quotes the Gemara of Bar Metzia. They have to be honest, but tzedek and yomecha chomemkar, and Rashi's lashon, as we know, it's honest in your business dealings. The Rambam has a commentary called the Sefer HaKovetz. And there, this is actually a source in English, says it's forbidden to deceive people. So he quotes here, the Sefer HaKovetz says, based on the Ritva and Chulin, holds this way as well. The Rambam also mentions the Rabrishon in Hilchos Mechira. So he asks along the Shakasha. He said there are two Rambams which speak about the Issur of Geneva's Das. In Hilchos Mechira, Perek Yudches, does not mention the source. The Torah and the Shulchan Aruch group this prohibition together. Onas Tavarim, wronging someone. But the Rambam doesn't. And in fact, The Rambam in Hilchos Deos quotes it again. So he asks a good shtark akasha. Why is the Rambam writing two halachas of the same halacha, one in Hilchos Deos and once in Hilchos, which it should be, right? Where the Rambam should write in Hilchos Mechira, which is obviously talking about business dealings. Why is it in Hilchos Deos? So he says, I'll tell you why. The mention of the concept both here and in Hilchos Mechira reveals that there are shtei dinim, before Ruchai, shtei dinim in the halachas of this prohibition of Geneva Stas. What's the shtei dinim? The Rambam links it. Why? One of the prohibitions is involving business transactions in which there is of an ethical nature. And then there's an iser of Kalashem. He says there's two dinim over here. One is just the stealing aspect of it. It's not ethical. It's not the way a Jew should live. It's not who you should be. Hilchos Deos is saying, Tocho Kabaro, you're not a good person. Forget about the fact that you stole. That's not what I'm interested in. That's an iser, I know. But what's interesting here is, I'm interested in what? You're a ganav. But it makes you into a bad person. You have a shame Russia on you because you're not ethical, you're not honest. In a chanami, you created a chil Hashem, what we discussed in the beginning. But you're two people. And there's a problem with that. Again, understand what I'm trying to say here? You created a chil Hashem. That's true, that's bad. Again, just to review for one second. What's a chil Hashem? I mean, chil is a chalal. Chalal is a missing place. When you get your homes in Israel, very strangely enough, you always will get a home with a space called a chalal. A chalal is a wall, okay? And past the wall you can build. But the state of Israel doesn't let you do anything. You get a certain amount of space. There's a stupid Ottoman law, British rule as well. And they give you a chalal. It's an open space with a wall there. Why do they put the wall? Because they build it. Then when you get the papers to the home, you knock the wall down and you build yourself a basement. Chalal is an open space. What's the open space here? The open space is that Hashem's Shechina is not the way where it should be because there's no Beis HaMikdash. When there's a Beis HaMikdash and there was Kainim B'Avadosim Yisrael B'Ma'amdam Levi B'Duchanam Shirim L'Zimra, every nation would look at it and go, wow, the Jewish people, psh, they got that Beis HaMikdash. They see Tefillah Cholamim, oh, Achash HaVazach. But we don't have that now, so there's chilul, there's a missing, if you will, the Shechina of Hashem. Not that God is not in this world, Chas Hashem. Being Mekadosh Hashem is bringing back God into the world, what we call an Or LaGoyim, L'takin Olam B'Malchut Shaddai. That's what a person has to do. So there's two aspects, there's an ethical nature to everything. Who are you? How do you develop yourself? And of course, there's the Kiddush Hashem aspect. And finally, excuse me, but just give me a few minutes just to finish this. To be with your student. Who cares? Who cares? Doesn't matter. The Pachad Yitzchak. Rav Huttner. Pachad Yitzchak. Rav Goldlicht, just over there, introduced me to this Pachad Yitzchak some 20 years ago. I love this Pachad Yitzchak. Listen to this, guys. So Rav Huttner was writing a letter. Anybody who knows the Pachad Yitzchak is an amazing sefer. Generally, he speaks about the Moadim. He's a beautiful, beautiful ideas. Listen to this, guys. A guy writes him a letter. Okay, Rav Huttner was in many, many years of Chaim Berlin. My Rebbe Rav Aaron Soloveitchik was a teacher there before he received the position of YU and started his own yeshiva. And Rav Huttner was asked the following question by a Talmud. This is the ultimate question. Okay, I'll phrase it in my lasha. Okay, as if somebody was asking me the question. Rebbe, I went to Yeshiva Shana Aleph and Shana Bet, and I'm a stark guy. I'm stark. I'm good. I'm great. But now, I went to university, and now I'm working. And I feel like I'm living a double life. Why? Because I have to act differently in work than really who I am. Right? Remember we discussed last? Right? This guy's cursing at work. This guy's doing this. So he writes to Huttner, and he says, HaRoshim HaKali, HaMitkabel B'Dvarech, Hu Ki zehi hanicha pshuta, ki secular life, who double life. The taina is that if I want to live a modern Orthodox life, it's not what he writes, but I want to be modern, I want to be secular, it's a double life. You're a faker. Lutar den Haag, I could act. If I understood that that's what it was, do you think I would let you ever leave the yeshiva? If I ever thought that the whole purpose of your life is going to be that one day you will go to the business world and you will become a secular person, a double life, and you come home and that's where you daven and that's where you do all the great things, but at work you're a something, then what? I would have never let you go. He says it's similar. Omnam ki misha soicher lo cheder bebeito lechiyot bo chaya toshav v'socher ol cheder bemalon lechiyot chayi. That's a double life, not a broad life. He says, what's it like? It's like a guy. He has a house. He has his bedroom. V'socher ol cheder bemalon lechiyot bo, because he's on a rail. He has a double life. Aval Misha Socher Dira Bat Shtei Chadarim Yeshlo, broad life and a double life. If you have two lives, there's a joke, you know, about people who work in different locations. I have a friend who unfortunately travels every single week to LA. He works in LA. Nebuch, he lives here, lives and works in LA. So the joke is, how's your wife doing in LA? You know, it's a double life. Says Rafuna, that's a double life. But a person who has two rooms in his house is not called, you have a different life. Oh, you have your bedroom life and you have your living room life. It's your house. It's broad. Sometimes you do, right? Sometimes you're learning. Sometimes it's the same life. And he gave a great example. Oh, he gives the example. He says, I was once in Yerushalayim and I had the zchus of meeting Dr. Wallach. I believe Dr. Wallach was the founder of the hospital in Yerushalayim. Anybody guess which one? Shari Tzedek. He's a doctor. He's about to do a surgery. V'sha'alo al shem imo. He says, what's your mother's name? I was like, what the hell do you care? You're doing surgery, man. V'itpalel alav l'fiyachdo. Because he says, I want to daven for you before I do the surgery. Because this is the first time I ever did the surgery. No. He says, because I want to daven for you. And when I heard this story from one of the Gedolei Yerushalayim, I should come and say, Kanotba. I'm so jealous of him. Be Yehudi Zeh Sheyesh, he's Damnut, Kol Kach Gedolah. Nishamesh Kli Sheret L'Kavon Shem. He's so lucky. And that's exactly what Rav Hutner, I think, is saying. It's an amazing thing. I think he said it today. He would be putting Cheir. He says, he's living a double life? No. He's incorporating his real life as a doctor with Yahadis. Can you imagine the person that I was not from? Imagine my doctor, he's one of the top doctors in Israel. One of the top surgeons. He wants a daven from me? What? It's amazing. I'm so impressed by that. He says, I don't have that schus. I think this is what he's saying. I learn whole day. Okay, it's great. But I can't have the schus to be Makadash Shem Hashem in this way. And we'll end off, finally, v'ata chaviv yakir chalila, that you're living this. It's not a chaim kfulim. It's not an echad balev, v'echad bepeh. This is the way I want you to live your life. It's a broad life. I want you to bring in Judaism to the office. I've been very zocha in my life to basically work for companies that had a lot of firm people in it. When I moved to Eretz Yisrael, so I worked for this company called Delta 3 in Yerushalayim. Was definitely a Jewish company, but there wasn't many from people there. And the difference between Israel and America is that in America, people are very PC. So if you eat lunch together, they're not going to talk anything about religion. It's the last thing they'll ever discuss is religion. In this company, the only thing they would ever discuss at lunch was religion and how they hate this about it. And it was always a fun discussion for me, a very bad, like there was only from people there. So I don't know why I decided to do this once. I started to talk to people. And as you know, Israelis, especially Yerushalmis, they know Tanakh pretty well. They know the Torah. Okay? They're not practicing so and so. But then I remember one discussion they had about, they were talking about what's called Kfiyas Dat. And this is something in Nebuch in Israel, which is really, really hard. And that is that a lot of the people who are not from feel that the general I don't want to just make, you know, say only Haredim, but the Haredim, they call it are kofer them to do what they want. They say, you're not allowed to have movies on Shabbos. I want to watch movies on Shabbos. And they always used to complain and say, what do you think? Them protesting against us, they're going to do anything. And why does detergent, I see, has Ashkach on it. All these things that Tommy Lapid used to say, right? And then, are you ready for this? I promise you, one guy probably was the Mahajan and a Mahajan of these anti-religious people, says, you know, I want to celebrate Shabbos like I celebrate Shabbos. I want a Friday night, make Kiddush, have a Suda Shabbos, and go out to the movies. And I'm like, but what did you just say about Kiddush? He's like, what, are you crazy? Of course I make Kiddush every Friday night. I was like shocked by this. And this started like a discussion. I said, you know what? Let me ask you guys a question. What would happen every Thursday? Would you like to discuss the Parsha? And they're like, yeah, that'd be awesome. Right? So every Friday, Thursday, for about a year, we had about 10 people who would come to my Parsha Shir. Of course, none of the firm people would come because it was like, this guy's not firm, you know? They wouldn't come. But, and it was an amazing discussion. It was a scary discussion because they knew a lot more than usually. You know, they would be like, Daniel, Zebseder, Katuba Chabakuk, Shebedurran. I was like, okay, only Old Testament, please. Who's Chabakuk? You know, who is he? So there was that's what he's saying, Rav. You have such an opportunity to go out. And of course, this is my message to you as you're illegally not watching your campers right now. But that's the message. The message is that this is your opportunity to have a broad life and go into a camp. Again, I'm not speaking disparaging Chas v'Shalom against the kol. The kol is a wonderful thing. They don't have much to do with the campers. In my opinion, you know, when we ran the BNP program last year, so it was good, it was nice, but the hashpa wasn't there. And the whole purpose of this program is to have a hashpa on the campers. I'm jealous of you! That's what he said. I'm jealous of you. Because you can show them how to play on a court without cursing. You can show them what it is to learn a little bit of Torah. Maybe, you know, not take the tefillin off at Ashrei. Or not come at Ashrei. Whatever it is, the second Ashrei. I'm saying, you have that Ashpa. You say, wow, this is a... So think about that broad life that you have. But it has to be Tochel Kabaro. You have to be an... Because people, especially kids, can see right through this. I don't know if this is true, and I'm mamash alone with this. I apologize that we went so long. I don't know if this is true or not, because I never did the study. But in the informal study that I've seen many, many people come out good, solid guys when they had a good, solid family. When their family was consistent with who they were. And I know this is not something you're going to think about now, I'm getting married soon, and it's like, you know, 10 years you're going to be married. I don't care who you are, you can be in 11th grade, you're going to be married in 10 years, sure. Some of you in 5 years. Some of you in a few months. No. So, what happens? Right? We'll talk later. No. So, when you establish a family, you have to say, am I consistent or not? You want your children to be able to have the following conundrum. It's the nighttime. Daddy just came home from work. You kiss them, you hug them, this and that. Boom, you go out. He's like, what's going on? Where's Daddy going? Where's he going? Your wife can answer and say, he's going to the ball game, he's going to play basketball, he's going to the doghouse. Or he's going to say, Abba goes to Daf Yomi Shir every day. It's 8 o'clock. It's 9 o'clock. That's where he goes. He's got to go. He doesn't miss that. And the kid doesn't really understand this Daf Yomi thing. So being a good kid who obviously has a phone in his room with his TV and his all this other stuff, he Googles it. And he's like, oh, this must be wrong. He starts reading. Daf Yomi is a cycle of Gemara. Dad's into Gemara. And he peeks in and he goes into his little office and he sees he's got a Gemara and it's got notes on it and it's holy. He's really into it. What is this? I like this drug. I want some. And he goes and says, Dad, what? He's consistent. It's a consistent family. That's what we're looking for. Unfortunately, the final story. I once went to the home of a friend of mine in high school. And it's mamash a true story. It's a sad, sad true story. And I went to his home and we went for Shabbos lunch. It's amazing the things that you remember. I was in high school, so I should remember this. And the father says, okay, everyone, let's follow tradition. Everybody go upstairs and change. Weird, okay. I was wearing a suit. Go upstairs and change. Go upstairs, and my friend, I said, what's going on? He's like, oh, my father says shoes of Shabbos should be comfortable. Everybody has to wear shorts and a polo shirt. So he gave me a shorts and a polo shirt to borrow. I knew, you know, if I did this in my house, I don't know what would happen to me. Okay, strange. So then we come down. Father makes kiddush, wash. We start eating. And all of a sudden, the father says, Daniel, who's Israeli, I have a question for you. Okay. You seem like a nice, good, cool guy. Why are you hanging out with my son? He's a big loser. I was like, what? So the son, of course, is not happy about this. Dad, shut up! And all of a sudden, the mom is like, don't tell your father to shut up. She's also Israeli. Don't tell him to shut up. He says, I'll tell you to shut up, mom. All of a sudden, it was like watching Jerry Springer. Beep, beep. Chairs are going up. And I'm like, and I'm sitting there cursing and this. Suda Shabbos, wow. You know, and they're wearing shorts. And then all of a sudden, the daughter gets up and she, God knows what she was wearing. And she's like, you all fuck me. You know, and he's like, you're a son of an aunt. And then the mom's like, wait, that means you're calling me out. Okay, but baby. How can it be that this guy's going to turn out normal? This is what Suda Shabbos is for him? Tocho Kabaro. I see the way that you act. I want to be like you. You're my role model. Maybe my parents are my role model. I'm here in the summer. I'm looking for something. I'm looking for somebody. Excuse me for saying this. Not appropriate. But maybe the rabbis in my school are not role models to me. Because I can't relate to them. I'm sorry. They look weird. They're funny. They're this, they're from this place. I don't know. You look like me. You act like me. You're good at sports like I am. Gets the Musar. Tocho Kabaro. They want to be like you. You have the opportunity to do that. So Mitzvah Shem, you should take these great opportunities and actually do your job now and go actually do your job. Mitzvah Shem, I'll see everybody at about 6:15.